Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into episode 208 of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, powered by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg, who is going to be starting a game for the Atlanta Braves this week with all the pitching injuries they've had lately. But how you doing, bud?
I'm good. Yeah, it's as good as we can be. They're struggling along, and like I said, who knows who they will call out next to pitch. But several bullpen games, and hadn't been pretty, but yeah, they're going to piece it together as much as they can. So it's been a brutal injury year for sure, and I know we've said that a lot, but man, does it feel like there's been more injuries though than ever. Yeah.
Yeah. I've said it a lot in, I do my weekly pitching primer, and which has also top 100 starting pitcher rankings for the week over on FTN every Sunday. And I sort of wrote it today. And it's like, yeah, every week, I swear, I'm talking about more and more injuries. It's because they just don't stop. And especially like Southeast, but getting you guys, Tampa Bay especially, man, it's terrible. Like, did you think? I don't think he's been confirmed, but I've been hearing rumblings, and he was even on as listed as a probable starter for like Thursday or whatever it was for you guys, that you'd be starting was Alan Willens or
Winans. Yeah.
Winans. Yeah. Thank you. Alan Winans. Did you think beginning of the year with all the pitching talent and depth you had, including all the other, like the Schusters and the Dodds and the Elders and all that, and, you know, Anderson at the time and then Soroka coming back, that you'd be starting Alan Winans in the middle of May?
Nope, because I didn't even know who Alan Winans was until this year, but he's been surprisingly good. But yeah, you know, who knows what, you know, the, I think he's 27-year-old journeyman, so it's, you still know what you're going to get out of him, right? But it'll be interesting to see him. He's been really good in AAA Gwinnett, but like I said, there's, who even knows at this point?
Yeah, I don't think, you weren't alone in not knowing who that guy was at the beginning of the year. I think many people knew who he was, but, you know, tough times call for desperate measures. So this is Tampa Bay, too. And we'll get into some of that, too. But before we get in the show, I just want to say a quick, you know, happy Mother's Day. I know it's the day after at this point now, but happy Mother's Day, all the mothers out there. We're recording this on Mother's Day, so hope you all had a great Mother's Day. Everything you all do is greatly appreciated. Don't think it's not. We have a really fun episode here today. You know, some dynasty buy sells, you know, going off players off to some hot starts. Are we buying them or not? Some prospect promotions, some, you know, pitcher injuries. Who's next up? Nice little mix of stuff today. But before we get into the show, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter, Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm Eric Cross 04, shows at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, Chris's Substack and my Patreon, for more work from each of us, including our prospect and dynasty rankings. And before we get into the show, we want to say a quick word about our friends at Underdog Fantasy. If you sign up using the promo code Toolshed, you will receive a 100% deposit match up to $100, and that can be used for any of their fun fantasy games. Sign up today using that code Toolshed at play.underdogfantasy.com/P-the-toolshed. All right, let's start with some prospect promotions here. And one that we meant to hit on last week, but we just kind of didn't, was Matt Mervis. So we'll start there. Hasn't really done much since he got called up, only hitting 179 with 13 strikeouts through seven games. But once again, was just lighting up AAA this year and coming off the 36 home run season last year, including 15 and 57 games in AAA Iowa to end the season. Had six home runs and seven doubles in 24 games for Iowa this year. Almost as many walks as strikeouts in the 286, 402, 560 slash line. How high are you on Mervis long term, Chris? Like, we've seen, we know he can mash in AAA and in the minor leagues in general, but do you think he's going to be a guy that can turn into, you know, maybe even a starting caliber first baseman in fantasy?
I'm not sure. I'm pretty torn on how I feel. He has been a great AAA player, and everything kind of backs that. Like, we've seen it, the numbers last year, the numbers this year, the underlying data looks really encouraging, but he hasn't performed great so far in the majors. It's a small sample, but also spring training was really rough for him. And even there, the competition wasn't as quality as he's facing right now. He has 43% strikeout rate right now in 34 innings. Again, I say innings pitched, plate appearances, 34 plate appearances. They're not innings pitched. He is a first baseman, not a pitcher. But I don't know. I'm kind of just split on how I feel. I think he's just going to be one of these streaky type players where he's going to have some stretches where he just gets to a lot of power. And he's going to hit five home runs in a week, just randomly go off. I wonder if the average settles in closer to like 240, 250 type. And with that, he's probably like he's a 25 home run bat over the course of a full season. So, like, there's some solid contribution here. But the floor at first base is also really high for fantasy purposes. Like, if you're going to be a successful fantasy first baseman, like, you've really got to excel, like, with power, even provide some decent average as well. Because, like, I mean, I don't really see, like, I would prefer Rowdy Tellez to Matt Mervis pretty easily. And Tellez is kind of like that power guy that doesn't have a lot of average, but I'd rather bank on Tellez right now than Matt Mervis. But long term, you know, I think Mervis could be a guy that hits 25 plus home runs, but I think the average could be pretty suspect. So I am concerned about that.
Yeah, I feel like if everything clicks, maybe he's like a Reese Hoskins type. I can see him being in that range. We've also seen, you know, a lot of these corner infielders, like these highly touted top prospect corner infielders, not really hit well right away. Like Jose Miranda, who we'll talk about later in the episode, was recently demoted. You know, Torkelson hasn't done a whole lot. Tristan Casas has struggled. Who else? I think there was one more I wanted to mention, that another corner. But anyway, we've seen a lot of these guys kind of struggle to begin their careers. So I wonder how high he can get up to. I think, you know, In a deeper, like, maybe 15-plus team league, I think he can get in that 12 to 15 range. I think that's fair. Because once you get past, like, the top, 7-8 options, so it does kind of drop off kind of quickly. I think he can get into that range where maybe, best-case scenario, he's pushing top 10 at the position. But we know the power's there. Like, we've seen it personally out in, you know, the Arizona Fall League. So I know the power's there, and I feel like the OBP will be pretty solid. He's always shown, you know, solid enough. Doesn't strike out too often, even though he kind of is right now. But he's never been a guy that strikes out too often. Usually has a pretty decent enough walk rate and OBP. So maybe he's a guy that'll have a little more, you know, impact in OBP format than average format. But I think he can get up into that, at least like a solid corner infielder. So, but I do have some concerns. Like, I don't think he's a hit like 280 or anything like that. I think the range is probably like 240 to like 260, 265, somewhere in that range. But still, I'm fairly high on him, but want to see him. You know, obviously he struggled a bit in spring training, and it's been seven games. I get it, but let's see how he fares here over the next couple of months here before we make any judgments. All right, next one here, the big one, Yuri Perez, who I didn't think was. Were you a little shocked by him getting promoted right now? I mean, I thought, obviously, you know, we shouldn't be talking about anybody being called up from Double A directly. We've seen that a lot more over the last couple of years. So it's not that. I just didn't have that feeling that I thought they were calling up like more like July, August, something like that. But came up, had seven strikeouts, you know, in whiff and CSW over 30% in his debut when he had a couple of solo shots for the damage on him on the day. But obviously, no matter where you look, whether it's fantasy focused or real life focused, he's a top five pitching prospect everywhere. So what are your thoughts? Is he a guy that you think could make a huge impact right away? We know the long-term impact, but is he a guy you'd be willing to go out and shell out a, you know, $250, $300 in FAB for?
Yeah, I think this is probably the best arm we'll see promoted this year. And the fact that you're going to get him most of the year, it's just, it would be really shocking at this point if he was sent back down, unless he just really struggled mightily. And you know, it's a possibility, but we are looking at a extremely talented arm here. I mean, we've had a lot of talented pitching prospects come up this year, and it's been awesome to watch, but I think Yuri is head and shoulders above all of them. Like, he's a tier above it, you know, at the minimum a tier above anybody that's come up so far this year. And the stuff is there. I mean, he just turned 20. Like you said, it's surprising that they called him up. But at the same time, it's like, why waste your bullets down there in the minor leagues? Like, just get this guy up, see what he can do. And with the Marlins, I was a bit surprised. Like, I'm not going to lie and tell you that they surprised me a bit. I thought he would go to AAA, but yep. To go from the Southern League, like throwing that tacky ball to straight to the majors, like, okay, here we are. But I do think that's something interesting to talk about. And you have to wonder, like, did he... like, was he struggling with feel? And he pitched well, but like that ball that he threw with in his first major league starts completely different than what he's thrown with all year. So you just have to wonder if, like, I mean, is he gonna like have to adjust or maybe not? I mean, this is an elite pitcher we're talking about. So he said, I think that he may have bumps and bruises along the way because he's a 20-year-old pitching in the major leagues. Like, there's only been three pitchers that have debuted this century younger than him. So that kind of tells you what you need to know, like how young and how talented he is. Is Julio Urias. It was Felix Jose Hernandez.
Was Jose Fernandez one of them?
Nope. He was 20, but he was a little bit older. Felix Hernandez and then Edwin Jackson were the three.
Ooh, Edwin. Wow. That took a turn. I wasn't Edwin Jackson there.
Yeah.
Kind of one of those, like one of these things doesn't belong scenarios there. But, oh, yeah, I did see something that he beat out Fernandez by, like, a couple months. That's right. But, yeah, that's super impressive. Obviously, you know, this year in the minor leagues, he was dominating once again. 2.32 ERA, 42 strikeouts, only 9 walks in 31 innings, whip well under 1 at .081. Yeah, he's like, this is, again, I don't think either one of us like to throw on the term, like, frontline or ace very often. He definitely is in that exclusive club of guys that I use that term for. So, yeah, you know, obviously he's a rookie pitcher. Anybody, you know, well, Spencer Strider didn't really have any, you know, valleys, but you're going to have mostly, you know, peaks and valleys with these guys. So, but overall, I think the number's going to be there. I think he's going to be a very, very high impact arm pretty soon. And maybe a guy that we're even drafting, you know, as a top 25 arm next year, depending how good he does this year. But another arm here that kind of, no, I'll get more of a pop-up arm this year. JP France with the, you know, Houston Astros are dealing with some pitcher injuries, obviously, as well. So they had to call up JP France, who threw two starts, 11 and two-thirds innings at eight strikeouts, only giving up one run in those 11 and two-thirds innings. So, you know, he obviously good, you know, off to a great start, but 18.2% K rate. He said, was he 28? Wow. Okay. I didn't think he was 28, but one of those older guys. What are your thoughts on him, Chris? Like, he was a guy that went for a decent amount of fab last week. And I don't know. I don't know if there's a lot of strikeout impact in this arm. I don't know if there's like a, you know, where he fit long term. I don't know. I'm lukewarm on him. Higher walk rates as well. So I don't know. I'm lukewarm, but what are your thoughts on JP France?
He's fairly interesting. Like I said, I think it's one of those things where it's like, okay, like nobody really knew him. He was just a journeyman, kind of like Alan Winans, like we talked about. But he's actually surprised me a bit. Like, I mean, obviously his performance has been pretty impressive, but also when looking at like his stuff, like it's really good as well. And I don't think we've really taken full notice of, you know, quite how good like his stuff really is. I want to pull up the Stuff Plus because I'm not sure I've looked at it since his second start in the majors, but after the first start, it kind of like popped off and I'm like, oh, like, okay, this is fairly interesting of what I'm looking at here with France. I'm going to pull it up right now. Tell you, but yeah, I mean, like you said, he's thrown 11 and two-thirds innings so far this year and had really good results so far, big leagues. And he was good in the minors as well. So I think that France could be fairly interesting. Yeah, he's a 108 Stuff Plus right now, which is cool. Like, that's really cool to see. A 110 on the fastball, which is great. A 121 slider, a 114 curve. Like, he's got five pitches. I'm semi-intrigued, like, it's not like he's going to pitch to this level, like, he's not going to be an elite starter. Like you said, the K rate's low, he's walked a lot of guys in the minors, and the strikeouts were there in the minors, so that could bounce back a bit. But I think you're just looking at, like, of a back end, I think there's useful depth here. Like, he's going to throw. I mean, the Astros need starters, so he's going to pitch. And I think that's his biggest benefit, is he's going to give you innings on a really good team. Give you a good chance at wins. And like I said, he may not be the flashiest, but I think he's going to be pretty solid.
Yeah, and he's kind of a different look for most hitters, because most every pitch he throws, the velocity he throws these pitches at is lower than the average velocity across baseball. Like, four-seamer, 93.5. You know, it's, you know, a little bit lower than league average. Not too much. Cutter, 86.5. Usually you see the cutters up around, I guess it does fluctuate, but usually, you know, that's on the lower end for cutters. Same with slider, 81.7. You see those like in the, you know, mid to upper 80s for the most part these days. Curves in the mid 70s. So, you know, kind of on the slower end, but that can, you know, work to his advantage. And, you know, these hitters aren't used to kind of seeing stuff coming in at that speed with that spin. So, yeah, he's doing well so far. He's the slider, curve, and changeable have whiff rates above 35%. You know, obviously he's only thrown, you know, combined like 70 pitches between those three and those two starts, but you're doing fairly well. Like, fastball is doing pretty good, 222 batting average against as well. So yeah, I have some intrigue, and yeah, like you said, he's got to get some run here because Astros are hurting, and you know, as are many other teams here, so they need him to pitch some innings for them. And obviously, as long as he keeps pitching well, I think he's going to keep that spot and won't get sent back down. Back over to, we got two more hitters here. Let's go back to Chicago. Christopher Morel, who was, you know, a mid-season, like, waiver wire darling last year. Then end of the season, you know, it was, you know, tale of two seasons for him. It started up really, really hot. Everyone thought, oh, is he the next, like, big power speed blend? Then the approach issues kind of came to the forefront. And he didn't make the team this year, but he was mashing AAA. Now he's back up, hitting absolute tank jobs. His third home run in five games since being called back up a handful of days ago, hitting over 400 since he came back, obviously five games. But where are you at with Morel, Chris? Because, like, I have really struggled, like, how I want to value him, because obviously the power and speed is there. We've seen that, you know, even last year and this year, you know, in AAA, et cetera. But we've also seen a lot of swing and miss to his game, you know, lower contact rates. Like, for instance, what was it last year? Zone contact last year was 65.2%. That is not good. And this year, you know, small sample size, 70.8%. Last year, the whiff was 38.3. This year, it's down to 29. But, you know, a lot of kind of, it's a mixed bag. A lot of good, a lot of bad with him. So kind of, where do you value him?
Yeah, he's really interesting. Like you said, I've faded him pretty hard in the offseason, despite the power speed, because of the contact skills. They were really bad. And in the minors last year, you know, like you mentioned the major league numbers, the minor numbers weren't good either. It was a little better. Obviously, he had a 75% zone contact, but a 67% overall contact. This year in the minors, it is honestly not good. I mean, 64% contact, 74% zone contact, chasing 34.3% of the time. That last year in the minors, he only chased 24% of pitches out of the zone. This year, that chase rate scares me at 34%. But it's hard to argue against the results that he's gotten, because he mashed and hit 330 in AAA despite it. And then you look at what he's doing right now in the majors, and it's like, I just don't understand. Like, I can't comprehend how he's able to do this. It's like Christian Encarnacion Strand, who currently has a 50% chase rate, but is just insanely elite. Like, it's like, okay, like, can some free swingers just make the profile work? I don't know. Morel is probably going to be a double-digit home run stolen base guy rest of the year, but does he hit 240? And I think that's a real possibility here. But I guess it all depends on how valuable is that to you, because 240 is probably closer to league average batting average right now. Obviously, yeah. Not for fantasy purposes. You obviously want better. Like, it's higher for fantasy league average. But 240 is probably close to MLB league average. He hit 235 last year. And, you know, I guess that he does a little bit better this year, you would think. But, again, it's really hard to peg down who Christopher Morel is. I mean, he's 23 years old. He'll be 24 in June. I guess the power's there. I mean, he smokes baseballs. He runs well. I don't know. I just wonder if he's a guy that's just kind of an enigma that can kind of get away with the lower contact rates and, you know, be like kind of like Javi Baez for some of his career.
I literally was just going to mention Javi Baez. He just feels, obviously, in the Cubs thing, it helps to make that comparison. But, yeah, he feels Javi Baez. Like, yep. There will be times like, you know, 3-4 weeks where, like, he's carrying your team. He'll have, like, you know, for a month, he'll have like 7 home runs and 5 steals or something like that. And then the next month, he's hitting like .110 with a 38% K rate or something like that. You know, end of the season, you know, maybe the overall line, maybe he'll be a guy that, say, go 20-25 home runs, 10-15 steals. So it'll be a little good. But if you play like a head to head league, like, this is a guy that could win you some weeks and lose you some weeks. So I feel like, you know, format comes in the play when valuing Morel. I just don't usually like to invest. Like, if he's cheap enough, sure. Like, I've invested in Mondesi when he was cheap enough. Like, I'll invest in anybody if I invest in Mondesi. So, but if it's going to cost me a decent amount, like, I'm not going to go after any guy. It's this profile in general. It's just, we've seen it not work for long periods of time. We saw Javi Baez, you know, fall off the last couple of years because of the similar issues that Morel has shown. So while he's a fun player, don't get me wrong, I know Cubs fans love him too, and they were clamoring for him and Mervis to come up ever since the start of the, you know, 2 weeks in the season when they were both matching AAA. But I don't know, I'm a little hesitant to go invest in Morel right now, but we'll see. The last one, Casey Schmidt, definitely not quite as shiny, but hey, he's been killing the ball since he came up. He already has a couple of home runs in his first handful of games, hitting .458, no walks yet, but hard hit rate over 52% in AAA this year, then 145 plate appearances. Only had the one home run, but 10 doubles, 313, 352, 410 slash line. So obviously putting the ball in play, but the power wasn't quite there. Though last year he had 21 home runs in 126 games with an ISO just below 200, slug just below 500. He's a guy, Chris, that, like, obviously it's all the value's tied up into the bat because he's not a guy that's going to run much at all. Did have 3 steals this year, but he's like a, you know, 5 steal guy at most, I think. But maybe he can be a guy that hits for, you know, decent average and, you know, maybe 20 home runs. I don't see like a huge impact bat here, though. Like, what, maybe 270 and 20? I think that's kind of what we're looking at here. I don't see anything really much above that. So I think he could be like a solid, maybe, you know, back end middle infield type, but I don't know. People are kind of going gaga over him right now, and I just don't see it to that extent.
His glove is certainly the best aspect of his game.
Yeah.
Kind of rare to see a third baseman transition to shortstop. Like, normally it's like we see who's going to move off shortstop and move to third. But
right,
his glove was so good that last year when Marco Luciano got hurt, Schmidt slid over to shortstop and hasn't looked back. Now, you look at the profile and you're like, wow, he only hit one home run in the PCL. Like, okay, where's the power? I really do think that he sacrificed a bit of power for contact. He was focusing on just hitting the ball where it was pitched. The exit velos are good. I mean, he had a 104 mile an hour 90th percentile EV, which is higher than MLB league average. The barrels obviously weren't there because he's hitting the ball on the ground. Like, he's running a 50% ground ball rate in AAA. But he gets the ball hard enough, and it comes with really good plate discipline as well. Say plate discipline. Let's look at contact more than plate discipline. There is some chase in this profile. He does chase some out of the zone, but he makes really good zone contact. Ran at 87% zone contact in the minors this year. So you love to see that. He's off to a really good start. I think what you said is pretty fair. Like, he could be a 20 home run bat. 270 is probably pretty fair as well, which I sit here and think about it. Like, would I rather have him or like Alec Bohm or Cabrian Hayes? Like, this feels like a, you know, better output than Hayes and probably better than Bohm at this point. So I don't know. I'm kind of like digging Schmidt a bit at third base, shortstop. Like, he could have, I don't even know what eligibility he has, if he has both right now or just third, but, or just short, I meant. But regardless, I think this is a valuable bat in deeper leagues, and I'm after him because I'm in need of help in middle infield in a lot of places. And if he can provide that middle infield, then I'll be happy to have him. And I think he's just going to hit. I think he's a gamer. I think he's a spark that this team needed in San Francisco. And I think they're really going to kind of just run with him at this point.
Are you at all worried that he's not like a full-time player, though, with Crawford just coming back from the IL today? Kind of, he got the start. Schmidt did play at third. Maybe this eats into Davis's at bats a little bit. Well, Davis did play some DH. He DH'd today after playing third base the last handful of days. You see, who do you think loses at bats here? More so Schmidt, more so Davis, someone else?
I mean, Crawford should. Like, Crawford really shouldn't be a starter at this point, I don't think. His bat's not valuable at all to this team.
Right.
And
but they love him out there.
Yeah, that's the issue. They love him. He's not a good bat. His glove is going downhill. And Schmidt is the best glove on the team right now, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So he should be, like you said, but I don't imagine them benching Crawford. Maybe I'm wrong, but Crawford obviously has the edge where he's a lefty bat. So he's going to play most days against right-handers. He may sit against lefties more, but I don't know. He's injury prone. I think the numbers just kind of work themselves out here, and Schmidt's going to find at bats one way or another, whether it's at short, whether it's at third. Like you said, Davis is probably a good DH bat, actually. I think he actually works there pretty well. You had Wilmer Flores there some prior. So it could go a lot of different directions. I mean, Jock's DH some. It's probably a mix and match thing, but I'd still guess that Casey Schmidt plays 5 to 6 days a week.
Yeah, I think I'm on board with that too, so. Yeah, I definitely like him. I think he's going to be a solid bat for a long time. A solid player overall with that defense as well. Having a hard time managing your finances? Well, Rocket Money is here to help. With all the subscriptions we have to manage these days, including all of those streaming services, it can be difficult to keep track of everything. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Stop throwing your money away. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/toolshed. That's rocketmoney.com/toolshed, rocketmoney.com/toolshed. All right, let's go over to some Tampa Bay Rays here, Chris, because as we mentioned in the intro, you know, there's a lot going on down Tampa Bay. They got some hitters surging. Every pitcher besides like Eflin and Shane McClanahan, who we got to put in bubble wrap right now, are hurt. The latest one being Drew Rasmussen. They obviously just lost Jeffrey Springs a couple of weeks ago, already had Boz on the IL. And who's the other one, Chris? That's Hertz. Boz, Rasmussen, Springs, and there's a fourth. No, there's a fourth. I know there's a fourth. I remember there being a fourth. Maybe there's not. Okay, hold on.
Last now.
Oh, Glasnow. Yeah. Okay. He's always hurt. So I'm used to it at this point. But yeah, that's a pretty damn good, like, IL starting rotation right there. And obviously, they got Fairbanks and Kittredge too, and some bullpen guys. But we'll start over on the hitting side of things now, because a couple of, you know, high end bats are really taking it to the next level right now. Wander Franco. Did you think that Wander Franco would have 12 steals, even with the new stolen base rules and you know, limitations and all that jazz that's helping stolen bases elevate this season? Did you think that Wander Franco would have 12 steals right now, Chris?
No, he didn't seem like that type that would run like that, but shoot, he's been one of the best players in baseball. Actually, the top of their lineup has just been, like I said, they're the best team in baseball for a reason, because they're just hitting the crap out of the ball. And Wander's a big part of that. He's got 7 home runs and 12 stolen bases, which is incredible to see. You expected the average to be where it is because he's such a good contact hitter. So it's no surprise to see him hitting over 300. He may be a career 300 hitter when all is said and done. He's 22 years old. He's that good. And he just turned 22 at that. So overall, man, this profile is awesome. He makes elite contact. He's growing into more power. Surprise, surprise, that a 21-year-old didn't hit for a lot of power in the majors and everybody was worried about him. And now you get the steals too. And man, the steals probably aren't going to be a thing year over year, but enjoy it right now. I think Wander is he a top 5 dynasty asset right now?
Well, I was just going to ask if he was top 10, because I think he's definitely, I don't know if I put him top 5.
Top 5's tough.
Top 5 is tough, because then you're getting up, obviously, the Acuñas and Tatises. I think he's definitely in top 10 discussion. And someone even asked that in the Discord earlier today, like, what's keeping Wander Franco out of the top 10 in dynasty rankings. And I think, like, the profile alone, I think warrant, you know, is deserving of top 10, but then so are all the other guys that are up in that range too. Like, you know, for instance, we got, you know, my 6 to 10 range is like Kyle Tucker, Yordan Alvarez, Aaron Judge, Trey Turner. Now, I guess he could slot ahead of the, you know, the older guys, quote unquote, Turner, who's about to be 30, and Judge, who just turned 31. I mean, would you take him above Judge and Turner right now?
I was just looking at it. I'd say can't put him over Acuña, no. Otani, Tatis, Julio Rodriguez. I don't think. Then I've got Tucker at 5, and I wonder if I could slot him in at 6 ahead of Yordan Alvarez. I mean, he may hit for a similar average to Yordan. He's not going to get the power. But if Wander is a 25 home run bat that steals 20 bases, is that equally as valuable than a 40 home run, 0 stolen base from right. Yordan? And that's what you have to weigh and figure out. Yep. Got Vlad Jr. behind him.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
I think that the first place I'd slot him right now that I'm comfortable is 8. I've got Bo Bichette currently there. I have Wander 10th, but I think I could bump him up to 8 ahead of Trey and Bo. Maybe Vlad, but it's like you said, it's just so stacked up there at this point. It makes it really tough.
Yeah, and like I said, I think we have the same top 4. You know, people can adjust the order, but I think that the top tier in some order is Acuña, Otani, Tatis, and Julio Rodriguez. Even though J-Rod hasn't looked the best this year, I think he's still in that top tier. Then it's like a massive tier, which I think these used to be 2 tiers that they've kind of blended into 1 gigantic second tier now, where it's like Soto, Tucker, Yordan, Witt, Judge, Turner. You know, I think you could still put Joe Rim in there, Vladdy Jr., Bichette. I think Corbin Carroll is working his way into that tier as well. Wander Franco. So large, large second tier. I think, yeah, I think he'll probably be, time I, you know, I'm working through my OBP rankings now, then I'll go to my back to my average ones again next week. So I think he's definitely going to be, you know, if not top 10, yeah, I think it'll definitely be top 10, like probably 9 or 10 ranges. I still got to probably tweak that a thousand times. But the other kind of bigger name, oh, there's a few names we talk about here for Tampa Bay, but Randy Arozarena has been absolutely mashing as well. 175 plate appearances, slashing 320, 400, 567, 10 home runs. Quality of contact has been absolutely just ridiculous this year. 20.2% barrel rate, average X velocity over 94 miles an hour, X Wobicons 509, X Slugs 593, hard hit rate 55%. He's walking more than he ever has as well, up to 10% walk rate. Zone contact still a bit lower, but you know, whiff rates and about 30%. Chase rate has dropped to 25.5. So overall, like the plate discipline is still kind of in the same range, but just the quality of contact he's showing this year is taking a massive step forward. And it's something he's shown before. Like we've seen him do this at times before, but now we're seeing it kind of maybe be a prolonged thing. So are you buying the surge we've seen from Randy Arozarena so far this year, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, Randy's been one of the most consistent fantasy contributors in the game. You look at his last several years, and really since his breakout happened in the 2020 season, everybody's like, ah, just a short season, 76 plate appearances, his playoff run was amazing. But then he came out next year and went 2020, 274 average, 356 OBP. Last year, 20 home runs, 32 stolen bases, 263 average, 327 OBP. So a bit of a dip there in the average and OBP. But this year, 10 home runs and 170 plate appearances is incredible to see. He should smash his career high of 20 this year. The most concerning thing to me is that he has been caught stealing four times, just three stolen bases. So can he get that fixed? Hopefully. He obviously has less stolen base chances because he's hit so many home runs and so many extra base hits that he really hasn't had the chance to steal second very often. I do think he'll be okay, like in the stolen base department, but maybe he flips this year and goes 30-20. And yeah, I think the question is, like, how high do you go on Randy Arozarena? Because I was looking at that and like, is he a top 25 dynasty asset at this point? It's a 28-year-old who's just been so consistent year over year.
I think
and
so.
Looks like he's taken a step forward this year in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I think he's easily in there.
Yeah. I think he's in that next tier. Like, there's that massive second tier, which probably goes down to like 14 or 15.
Yeah.
And I think there's like another pretty sizable tier where you got, you know, I think it was in that tier, like Devers and Austin Riley, Michael Harris. Those, I think Jordan Walker's in that tier still as well. Like, it's a pretty big third tier as well. And I think he's put himself right in there. I think he has to. Like you mentioned, he's not like this is coming out of nowhere. And like the last 2 years were so-so. And like, no, he's been pretty damn good for the last handful of years. And now, yeah, if he goes like 30-20 this year, with like he's a career 275 guy. So, you know, a 285 average is not out of the question right now. And OBP, you know, 370, 380, something. He's a 400 OBP right now on the dot. So, yeah, I think he definitely could be top 25 and maybe even top 20. Maybe he's up in that, you know, range with Devers and Riley and all of them and, you know, kind of right around 20 or so. I think that's definitely possible. Could see him sneak in there. Oh, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, looking at the metrics, I mean, he's kind of who he's always been, but he's added power. The barrel rate is soaring, 20% barrel rate, which is awesome to see. Some of that you can attribute to just his bat at ball profile in general, meaning looking at the line drive, fly ball distribution, he's just hitting more healthy balls like in a launch angle. He's hitting less ground balls for one and getting better launch angle overall. And his sweet spot percentage is up nearly 10 percentage points from last year, which is obviously a big factor in that, but he's already beaten his career high max EV. His average exit velocity is up 4.5 miles an hour. That barrel rate, like I mentioned, is insanely high. And the hard hit rate is 11 points higher than any chance, like any point of his career. And that second highest was 2020, which was a shortened season. So I don't know. I just think Arozarena is just a guy at this point, and he's just everything backs his performance, so it's hard to argue against him at this point.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Another Rays bat surging right now, Josh Lowe, who is the only player in baseball with 9 home runs and 6 steals right now. The next closest to that kind of benchmark is Ohtani, what a surprise, at 8-5, and Jared Kelenic at 8-5 as well. But yeah, nobody else has 9-plus home runs and 6-plus steals right now. And Josh Lowe has just been absolutely raking. And in addition to that, hitting .306 with a .364 OBP, .631 slug, added 28 RBI and 23 runs as well. You know, barrel rate has almost tripled this year. You know, ground ball rate still about the same, but he's hitting more, hitting more balls in the air, though, this year, more fly balls, which is definitely helping. You know, hard hit rate's gone up about almost 4%. X slug is almost doubled from last year. But the biggest thing, though, I've seen, you know, Lowe hit for solid power in the minor league, so I'm not like overly surprised by this. But what I'm really encouraged by, even though the walk rate's basically the same as it was last year, the K rate has dropped about 11% from 33.3% to 22.4%. That is very noticeable. Now, whiff rate is still a bit high, 30%. Chase rate's still a bit high, but he's making more contact overall, which is helpful. He's not going to hit 300 over the full season. Like, he's just not the type of guy. Metrics don't support a 300 average, but I think with combination of his power and the speed he shows, I think he can still hit like 270 over a full season with the contact skills he's showing. Again, the K rate getting chopped down over 10% is very encouraging. So, yeah, I've always been a Josh Lowe guy. So I'm definitely encouraged, and they started to play him more against lefties as well, which is helpful. Yeah, I'm pretty much buying in to Josh Lowe. I think he could be a top 100 dynasty guy pretty soon here.
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue against him. He's made the tangible change you want to see. And some of it has trended downward a bit. Like, you look at his like rolling contact and zone contacts. It has trended in the wrong direction, but it hasn't really affected the results to this point. So I am still in, and this could be a cycle where he does go through some stretches. And even so, like, it's hard to say, like, okay, well, he's just going to totally fall off the map. I don't see that happening, because some of the things you mentioned, like, he's always just been really, really solid across the board, like with power and speed. Like, there was zero questioning that. It was more his ability to, you know, just hit the ball and make consistent contact. And yeah, if you look at that, his rolling game averages, not great, but it's still improvement from last year, which is exactly what he needed to do. The O-swing is a bit up, but it's still at an okay rate. The zone contacts and the overall contacts are down a bit recently, but I'd expect him to bounce back. I mean, you look at the overall results from his profile and you're not like, okay, like he just completely just like lost it and fell off. Because he's still producing. Like, even over even in the month of May, he's only played, had 33 plate appearances this month. He still has 4 home runs and a stolen base in 33 plate appearances. He's just striking out 27% of the time. Probably who he is. Hitting the ball hard, .258 average. You can live with that. Like, if Josh Lowe is a .260 hitter, then you're going to be totally fine because of the power and speed element that he brings to the table. So I'm still buying in, even if there is regression in the batting average, which is likely to happen.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely there with you. All right, let's go over to the pitching side here. And the Braves as well, like we mentioned, Tampa Bay and Atlanta have been hit pretty hard on the injury front in terms of their starting rotation. We're down in Tampa Bay. We're down to McClanahan, who just went yesterday. Eflin went today. So Eflin will go again on next Saturday, McClanahan on Friday. They got Fleming lined up for Thursday. Right now, there's nobody lined up for Tuesday or Wednesday. Maybe they bring Taj Bradley back up, but it's not like he's been pitching well in AAA. Last 3 starts down there have not looked that great at all, but they might have to. Maybe they bring back Yonny Chirinos to start. I don't know. Same with Atlanta, too. Like, how do you think these situations play out? Do you see any hidden value here to be had by guys getting chances either in Atlanta or Tampa Bay, Chris?
Yeah, there's going to be some sneaky value, like with some people that come up, because it's not going to be names that people actually recognize. If I had to guess, it's like, who is this guy? And that's what's going to be the case with, like, when people come around on like Alan Winans, they're going to be like, who is this guy? And it's like, okay, why should we care about this guy? And in doing so, like, he may be okay pitcher. And so I'm a bit intrigued. Like, there's a guy in the race system, Jacob Lopez, who's coming back from injury. So I don't know how much they actually rush him, but he's in AAA and he's been pretty intriguing. He's now a 25-year-old. First time he's pitched since 2021. He's been pretty lights out. I mean, he's got a 43% strikeout rate right now. He's got 2.88 ERA and a 0.88 whip. That's Jacob Lopez, the Rays org, 25 years old. He was former 26th round pick with the Giants, a lefty arm. He came over to Tampa Bay's org and really took, and he's been pretty good his entire minor league career. But Jacob Lopez is one to keep an eye on. I don't know, like, if they actually are serious about, like, actually pushing him, because, like you said, he's hasn't pitched since 2021. So he's 2 years pretty much removed. He only pitched a few innings in 2021. So who knows? Like, with the Rays, like you said, right now they've got McClanahan, they've got Eflin, they've got Fleming. Maybe Chirinos goes back in. He did pitch on Wednesday through 86 pitches, so it seems likely that's the case. I'd watch out for Cooper Criswell in AAA. He's, he's whatever. I mean, he's been fine, but he's been fine in AAA, I'll say that. But he doesn't strike out a lot of guys. His strikeout rate in AAA is currently 21.5%. He has a 3.38 ERA. The whip's pretty high. Kind of whatever on Criswell. Bradley, obviously, is one that, like you said, should be up. But another one I'll throw a dart on is Elvin Rodriguez, who really caught my eye early in the season. He was just absolutely dominant. He pitched in the majors last year with the Tigers and was atrocious. But he's kind of turned it around a bit. I won't say he's been dominant in AAA this year, but he's been pretty good. And he's thrown consistent innings. He's got an ERA around 4, which he was much better in the early season when I looked at him. So I apologize for saying he's been dominant, because that's obviously changed a bit. But he's just one to keep an eye on. There's a lot of weird names just kind of keep eyes on here in the Rays system, especially. Because they always find these guys that'll pop up. Like Jeffrey Springs was a nobody. Right. Drew Rasmussen was a nobody. Like, somebody's going to pop up. Not saying they're going to be those levels, but they're going to be pretty dang good.
And I'm sure somebody out there listening is like, hey, what about Luis Patino? No. He's nobody's kind of been following Patino this year. He's been downright terrible in AAA. He's made 6 starts and 3 relief appearances, 28 in the third innings overall, 8.58 ERA, 1.98 WHIP, and 20 walks to 28 strikeouts. Like, yeah, he's over 14% walk rate. He is trending in the wrong way in a hurry. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know who's going to be a couple arms brought up, but let's say it is Patino, no thanks. I am completely out on Patino at this point.
Yeah, I think he's almost just transitioned to a reliever at this point.
Yeah.
Because his last 3 outings have just been relief. And his last outing was 7 earned runs in 2/3 of an inning. So if that tells you what you need to know, I rest my case there and we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, he's completely fallen off a cliff. Like, they've done so well with, you know, getting these guys like the Springs and the Rasmussens, but Patino, not one of their success stories. They could not correct his issues when they got him from San Diego. It's unfortunate because he was a talented arm and one of the top. I think he was considered like a top 5 pitching prospect by some people at some point. I know I had him at least top 10, maybe even pushing top 5. It's hard to remember back that far, but yeah, definitely turning the wrong way for him. That's for sure. All right, let's go over to some dynasty buy or sell to close out the show. Got a handful of names here. Let's start with Gunnar Henderson, I'm sure you have as well, Chris. Like, we're getting a lot of questions. And whether it's from a dynasty perspective or redraft, more of the redraft questions are like, hey, should I cut him at this point? Dynasty, like, hey, is this guy not as good as we thought? You know, overall, you know, quality of contact is still pretty good. You know, 10.6% barrel rate, 91.7 exit velo, 45.5% hard hit rate. He's walking 19.4% of the time. You know, striking out, you know, it's high, 28.7%, but that's not like terribly high. But just the contact rates just have not been there in the major leagues. Like 75% zone contact this year, whiff rate's about 34%. I think he's being too passive, I feel, and that's hurting him a bit. He's not hunting out his pitches. But I don't know. Like, it's tough. Like, I'm still, you know, obviously very high on Gunnar Henderson, but maybe we did go a little bit overboard. But still, long term, I think he could be like a top 30, top 40 player overall. So if anything right now, I may be looking more to buy low if possible, if the price has dropped a little bit, because I still think there's a very good ball player in here, obviously. Like, He wouldn't have had the rise up through the minor leagues and done what he did. It wasn't a fluke. Like, the skills are in there, but I think this needs to be like a tweak to his approach, like maybe being a little more aggressive. I think that needs to happen for him to kind of unlock everything. So some red flags, but I'm still definitely in on Henderson right now.
Yeah, it almost presents a pretty good buy low opportunity. And I don't know. I'm curious as to whether I can't see him getting demoted at this point. It's almost like they just let him work through this at this point.
It wouldn't surprise me, though, either, especially with like Jordan Westbrook knocking on the door.
Yeah, I mean, they have. That's the thing. Like, they're fully in contention. Like, as good as the Rays have been, they're only four games out.
I know.
They would be leading every division in baseball right now. The Orioles would be, other than the AL East. That's how wild it is. So maybe they're just like, hey, Gunnar needs to go get his head right. We've got Joey Ortiz. We've got Jordan Westbrook. We've got all these guys that are hitting that can come up right now. So maybe it isn't out of the question completely. I don't know. Here's what, I mean, Henderson, he's not chasing, which he's never done. So he's a low chase rate guy. You love to see that. He's patient at the plate, but maybe too passive, like you said. That's a real possibility here. His ground ball rate is down, and that was what everybody's freaking out about last year. I'm like, look, that's not who he's been. He's going to be fine. He's got a 42% ground ball rate, so that's encouraging. But he's hitting some unhealthy fly balls right now. The fly ball rate's high, but the infield fly ball rate is really high. There's a lot of pop-ups, which isn't ideal. I think the biggest struggle that we've seen from Gunnar is the splits. Like, you look against lefties, and it's like, he's just atrocious. He's not been good against righties either, so let's preface it with that. But he's hitting 111 against lefties. He's hitting 197 against righties. So either way, it's still not good by any means. But there are some positives in the profile. Like, his contact rates are not great, but they're fine. Like, his zone contact rate is fine. His chase rate is elite. Like, he's like just above like Juan Soto levels, like that kind of plate discipline good. And at the end of the day, like, I think Gunnar Henderson is going to be fine, but he's not really, he may get sent down. He may struggle throughout this entire season. And if he does, like, it's kind of a detriment to keep rolling him out there on your team every day. But he's hitting the ball hard, so you got to look at that and say, okay, like, it's encouraging to see a 10.6% barrel rate. It's encouraging to see a 91.7 mile an hour average exit velocity, 32% sweet spot rate. There are encouraging signs here, despite the poor performance.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of what I've been saying, is like, you know, remain patient. Redraft, I can see. I wouldn't, you know, if you're listening and you're wondering what to do with him, redraft, I wouldn't cut him quite yet. It's bench him for now. Give him another few weeks. But yeah, Dynasty is definitely a buy low for sure. How about Christian Yelich, former National League MVP, Chris? Like, he's having a really good year this year. 7 home runs and 9 steals, slashing 262, 341, 430. So slash run doesn't like pop off at you, but this is like the best power speed blend we've seen from Yelich in a bit since his, you know, huge 2018, 2019 years when he was flirting with MVP awards. But, you know, last year had 14 home runs, 19 steals. So he's already like at half of that in 115 less games than last year. So are you seeing anything that you're like, all right, you know, Yelich is, you know, maybe not, I don't think anyone's expecting him to go back to those MVP levels at this point, but, you know, maybe there is like that kind of in between land from where he's been the last couple of years and that range where maybe he can get back to like a 2020 level. Do you see that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very possible. Like you said, he's hit 2 home runs on Saturday. He hit another one on Sunday as we're recording this today. He's been really good in the month of May, so that's encouraging to see. Hitting 333 this month with a near 400 OBP, 3 home runs, 3 stolen bases as well. Encouraging thing to me, 10% K rate. That's awesome to see. Hitting the ball really hard. He's always hit the ball hard. So,
yeah,
like, that's not super surprising. He's making really good overall contact. 87% this month is great. And he's actually got a higher overall contact than zone contact, which is pretty wild. He's swinging aggressively in the zone, which I love to see, but not as much out of the zone. Obviously, that's a good combo. Z swing minus O swing, and he's got a really good rate there, Z minus O swing. Less ground balls. Like, everything's just kind of aligning right now for Christian Yelich, where, again, he may not be super elite, but he said 7 home runs and 8 steals right now through 163 plate appearances. Why can't he be 20-plus in both categories? He's going to play up in OBP But even a good average two, I think, is a very possible case there.
Yeah, I'm pretty much on board with that as well. Yeah, I never thought that we were like done seeing like impactful, and I'm not saying he's been bad the last handful of years, but definitely underwhelming, I think, is a fair term to use there. But yeah, I think we can see a couple more years, and he's a good like win now. Obviously, if you're rebuilding, you're probably not looking to kind of go after a guy like Yelich, who is 31 now. I think once he turned 32 fairly soon, I think. But if you're like a win now team, like this is a great piece to go out and get right now, because a lot of the metrics are there, a lot of red on that Savant page. And yeah, I think we're definitely seeing a nice little resurgence here from Christian Yelich. Let's keep it right there in the National League Central, go over to the pitching side of things. Chris, can you answer me a question? Like, what like magic potion has Mitch Keller gotten himself into over the last like year or so? Because another dominant outing today against a red hot Baltimore team, where he finished with, how many Ks did he finish with? Was it 13? Yeah, 13 Ks over 7 shutout innings, 0 walks, and 4 hits allowed. He's been really, really good all year. And even, you know, second half of last year was pretty damn good as well. Are you buying this? As we see Mitch Keller be so kind of meh for so long, and now we're seeing a whole new Mitch Keller. Are you a believer, or are you more in the sell high camp?
I think sell high is always kind of, you know, it depends on what you can get. So certainly if somebody's buying him as like a top 20 arm, then yeah, I'm probably selling. But I do think the potion he drank was one that gave him a sweeper and a cutter, because that's kind of changed everything for him. And really last year he started making strides, and he cut his four seam usage last. So from 2021 to 2022, he cut the four seam usage by 24%, 23%. So obviously that was a start, because that was not a great pitch, and he was relying on it way too heavily in 2021. So he cut that pretty significantly, and it was better last year because he leaned more on other pitches too. This year, he's cut it back even more. He's throwing the four seam just 25% of the time. And you know what? He's getting even better results too, because one, the velo's up, like from 2021, the velo's up nearly 2 miles an hour, and he's getting whiffs. Like, he's locating it better. The heat map on it is pretty good overall, just up in the zone. That looks really good. The sweeper has changed the game completely for him. He's getting a ton of whiffs there. He's throwing it pretty much exclusively to righties, but man, it's been really, really good. The changeup exclusively to lefties. So he's got 4 pitches for both batters, which is good and encouraging. He's got the sweeper, the cutter's at 24.2% whiff rate, but it's been a good pitch too, just 182 batting average against. I think the tweaks in the arsenal have actually paid off. Adding that sweeper and cutter pretty much changes the dynamic for him. And yeah, I mean, he may not pitch to this level, but I think he's going to be 3.3 ERA rest of the way with good strikeout numbers. So I think that's a pitcher you kind of want to hold on to, unless somebody just comes in and gives you an insane return for him.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's, I'm not buying this level of Mitch Keller, but I definitely think there's been some tangible changes, especially with the pitch mix, like you mentioned, Chris. Like, and that's helped the four seamer have much better results. He's throwing it a lot less, about half the time compared to 2021. That has certainly helped, you know, adding the cutter, sweeper, etc. Throwing the, you know, the sinker more as well. Pitch mix is a lot better now. I think that's definitely helped him. So yeah, I think there's like that middle range where he is now, where he has been the last couple of years, where he's a, you know, maybe a top 40 to 50 arm, like SP3-4 range for fantasy. I think that's fair. Guy that can give you, you know, low to mid 3 ERA, and maybe around 25% K rate. I think that's kind of where he'll be. So if that's what I'm buying, sure, I'll buy that. But I'm not going to be buying into, you know, like you mentioned, top 20 Mitch Keller. That's definitely, I don't think he's that good. But I definitely think he's made some changes that I'm definitely buying in for sure. The last one here, we've talked about several kind of big name arms that have been, you know, obviously hurt, but some guys that have kind of fallen off production wise as well. And one that we haven't really dug into too much so far in any episode this year is Sandy Alcantara, who had 8 starts, 51 and a third innings, 4.91 ERA, 1.21 WHIP, and K rate still, you know, it down a tick, but still right on 23%. So like the K minus walk rate is still kind of in that same range where it's been like 17-18% the last 2 years. But you were living with that when you were getting obviously the elite innings, the elite volume, and elite ratios as well. So he had a 2.28 ERA last year. Xeri was 2.92, and this year it's been over double. So, you know, is Sandy still a, you know, top 10 dynasty arm? Do you think he can get back to, you know, the Sandy we've seen the last couple of years where he's, you know, either below three or even just above three? Or are you kind of worried that he's not going to get back to that range, Chris?
He's an interesting one because obviously the results this year have not been good by any means. The innings have been there, and that's what you get out of them. But last year, you got the innings and you got elite ratios and enough strikeouts to sustain. But this year, it hasn't been there. So to diagnose the issue, what's going on with him? Like, what's different? Well, it starts with he's changed his pitch mix a bit. He's throwing the sinker more. It's not a ton more, like, but he is throwing the sinker more. He's changeup's pretty steady to where it was last year, and he's throwing the slider less. I almost think you need to lean on the slider more and the changeup more. Like, those are your best pitches. 41% whiff rate on your slider, 36.5% whiff rate on your changeup. Throw them more. The sinker has been getting hit around. The four seam hasn't been great at times. He's just mislocated it. Look at the heat maps on his slider and his change. Like, okay, like, that's really good. And the four seam, like, oh yeah, there's some balls up, but also you've left the sinker middle way too often. He's allowed three home runs on the sinker, another on the four seam, just one on the slider. That's the only other one that he's allowed this year. So yeah, there are some concerns with this. And it's like, I don't know, you're getting hit around harder than you were last year. And he's always been one that, you know, kind of pitched to contact more, but he's been getting hit pretty hard. I do think there are better days ahead, but you have to wonder, like, are there reasons to be concerned about Sandy Alcantara right now? And I think he'll get back to top 10 levels, but there's certainly some guys pushing. They're like, okay, they may take a spot from him in that top 10. I will say he's missing way more bats this year. The swinging strike rate's up significantly from last year. The K's just aren't there. Like, he's just not putting away batters. So at the end of the day, like, there's not been a whole lot that's super different, but the results just haven't been there. And I think we see a better Sandy, but probably not Sandy that we saw last year.
Yeah, I definitely think we see a better Alcantara moving forward here, because you look at a lot of the plate discipline metrics. Like, he actually has a lower zone contact than last year. You know, chase is still 33.5%. Whiff's actually gone up a little bit. So a lot of those metrics are pretty much in line with last year. And he mentioned slightly different pitch mix there. But, you know, I don't think, you know, maybe it's fair to say we don't see, you know, 220, whatever ERA, 228 ERA Sandy again. But I think what we, maybe he's more like 2020, 2021 Sandy, where it's like 3.19, you know, key rate 23-24%. But he'll still give you the elite inning. It's like he's probably still top three safest arms in all of baseball right now. So right now, let's close out with a little who you got, Chris. Dynasty draft right now, you're on the clock. You want to take your ace right here. You taking Sandy, you taking Aaron Nola.
Probably Nola. I'm just a little more confident in his rebound, even though he's had a really ugly starts too. But just, he's going to give me more strikeouts. He's been a lock for innings as well. And while Sandy had the elite ratios last year, I just feel like Nola is a little more well-rounded profile.
That's fair. How about Sandy or Zach Gallen?
Oh, I'd go Gallen.
Yeah, me too. I saw that as a guy, and that's not actually a good one. Who else would be good in this range? How about Sandy or a Luis Castillo?
Man, based on our dynasty pitcher mock draft, I'd have to go with Luis Castillo.
That's true.
Yeah, I moved him up.
Where did Sandy go in that? He was like a 10, 11 range?
It was right around there, yeah.
But I think it's still, given this the volume he gives you and just how safe he is, I think he still has to be in that range. And yeah, definitely, if there's any buy low window at all right now, I definitely would try to capitalize on that for sure. I think he's definitely better than what he's showing now, and the metrics back that up too, so. All right, that's going to wrap up this episode. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in. Again, we hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms for more work from both of us, and join us again next time. But until then, everyone take care.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.